Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. Thanks for joining us. We are on time, and we're in the 1:30 to 2:30 slot here in the East as we put this sucker out there on Tuesday afternoon. No need to fiddle and diddle daddle doodle.
No.
All right. Here you go. Here's your list. Pick. Don't touch that Confederate statue, Alamance County.
Oh, Jesus. We're doing this again.
Donald Trump, the conscience of the Jewish nation. Crazy Don selling smoke. His prices are insane. Loose cannon in Florida.
Uh-huh.
GTFO. And rich man, poor man.
You see, Rich Man, Poor Man was this limited series on TV that was extremely popular. About
that's like, funny you should bring that up tonight in part six, starring, here you go, Peter Strauss, Nick Nolte, Susan Blakely, Steve Allen, Ed Asner, Bill Hicks, Dick Butkus, for God's sake. Oh my God, Van Johnson, George Maharis, Ray Milland, Robert Reed, Dick Sargent, Talia Shire.
Wow.
It got every Emmy ever. Rich Man, Poor Man. Now the remake starring Donald J. Trump.
You see, there was these limited series on television. It went through this period of time where the Rich Man, Poor Man and the Thornbirds and Shogun and North and South. And TV just went crazy with them there for a while.
And now they're on streaming. Yeah. I like the 7 or 8 episode things that are streamed where I don't have to watch 4 years of,
I didn't mention Roots. Roots was probably the most important of all of them, but it was a huge deal as well.
That was that gardening thing with Martha Stewart, right?
It showed you how to have a green thumb. That's right.
Right. Right.
Also known as the series where Sandy Duncan turned heel in wrestling parlance.
That's exactly right. I did something on my Facebook page about Trump, you know, not having enough money to cover this bond that's being demanded of him, and nobody wants to do business with him. And you know, if you think he's smarter than the average bear and he's playing five-dimensional chess on this one, it's about just delaying. Because he gets to go and say, well, I went to 1, 2, 3, yeah, 4, 3, right, and none of them would. And so it just kind of pushes it out.
Was it the really good in-depth story on that? Was that the Times? I think they had the really good one about, well, they went to Chubb. Chubb said, fuck you. They went to Berkshire Hathaway. Berkshire Hathaway said, fuck you. They were just going to everybody they could to try to get the bond, and nobody would go for it.
Well, I looked and I saw a couple months ago this site called Curbed, CURBED, as in Curb Your Enthusiasm, past tense, Curbed, did a story called What Real Estate Does Trump in New York City Anyway?
Yeah.
And they go through every building that has his name on it. And almost without exception, not only does he not, quote, own the building, he might own the rights to the snack bar, okay? He might own the rights. No, and in a building with 300 condos, he might own one himself and five others. In Trump Tower itself, I think he owns some of the largely now almost worthless retail space. When you walk in, let's see what it says about Trump Tower. Yeah. High vacancies in 2021, the $100 million mortgage that the Trump Organization has on the building was put on a watch list before they refinanced it this year. Good move. Wait till interest rates go up to refinance. That's always a shrewd move, because in 2021, interest rates were still like zero, right? Okay. It's just, he's a genius, isn't he? A MAGA-affiliated political action committee, a PAC, was recently one of the most reliable tenants, paying $37,000 a month to lease office space and another $3,000 a month for a kiosk in the lobby, despite the fact that the lobby is closed. Okay, so this will give you an idea of the papier-mâché buildings in terms of financial aspects that Donald Trump is involved with in New York. It's all a mirage. It's all a fake. And even if he owned these buildings flat out, it's kind of tough to turn around and sell on it. There's no CarMax where you could just type in the address, they give you the value, and you go, okay, I'll take it. Doesn't work that way.
Wait a minute. Business idea. CarMax for that.
Yeah. And they run through a bunch of these things. Look, and
my favorite take on this is Mark Levin being pissed that these Republican billionaires aren't stepping forward to pay this bond for Donald Trump. That's my favorite take on
this. Right. Yeah. That's very important. That's very important that you circle the wagons when one of your own is under duress. So they've reached this conclusion. It turns out that of the many Trump-branded or associated properties, he appears to own just a few units or portions of a building, such as Trump Tower. In most other cases, his name on a building represents a licensing agreement, a condition of sale, or the Trump Organization's role as property manager. So isn't it Eric who said, you know, I'm not a finance guy, I'm a hammer and nails guy, I'm a concrete pouring kind of guy. Didn't he allude to that?
He said something. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's what he said.
All right. Trump's only equity in many of his, in quotes, buildings appears to be limited to a handful of unsold apartments or common areas, if any at all. In effect, his footprint in New York has already been shrinking for years, and Attorney General Letitia James' lawsuit has laid that bare. Thus, many believe that's the reason he's shown up at that trial in New York about this, because this one really, really matters. When that woman that he never knew and never raped and never heard of had a trial, he didn't show up for that. That wasn't such a big deal. Because, you know, all men rape and pillage and lie about it. Everybody does that. But this is different. So I think he has 6 days left now, right?
Yeah.
They should do a countdown clock in the corner of the screen on CNN like they do for other really stupid crap that they do countdowns for.
They've advised, because she didn't have to do this. Letitia James, who Donald Trump has just gone off of and said she's the worst thing in the history of humanity.
She's a racist.
She didn't have to do it. She gave him 30 days grace period. Try to get your shit together. Try to get this bond. Didn't have to do that. Just said it was something that she allowed him to do. They've said that he could possibly declare bankruptcy and then that would freeze everything, but that's going to cause a lot of problems and other stuff. And he's had bankruptcy issues before, so they don't really know. And they can't, as you pointed out, it's like, well, I got to get Mar-a-Lago sold in 2 or 3 days here. If we can just go ahead and get that done, you can't really do that. So he's kind of screwed right now. They're looking at seizing assets. They might be able to go in there and just seize assets.
I know, but you still have to turn around. And that, I guess then what the state of New York is the real estate agent trying to peddle this crap.
Let's find out how hardcore Elon Musk is, right? Mr. I love America, Mr. I'm Donald Trump's buddy, Elon Musk. Let's find how hardcore is he? Is he gonna, do you write the check? Do you transfer the funds? What are we doing here, Elon? I mean, you're the man. You believe in this country's going in the shitter, right?
I think you're bringing up maybe the most salient break point in all of this, right?
Right.
It's one thing to support Trump, to go along with him, to fall in line, to talk about the fact that, yeah, he's kind of a jerk, but I can't see myself voting for him, but I can't vote for Biden. You know, the whole thing. That's different than talking about, you want to put up $400 million on behalf of Donald Trump. And I don't care if you're Elon Musk. Elon Musk doesn't want to flush $400 million on Donald Trump. Not when he can flush $44 billion on Twitter. Okay.
Exactly.
So he knows all about losing money. But that isn't that the point? That for him, this really wouldn't be a lot of money one way or the other to back up whatever ideas he has, whatever philosophy he has. But you're right. You don't see him stepping up there. But if this follows the usual script, and with Trump, the script is already pre-written. You just write in the next few little details on where, when, why. The night before, that would be next Sunday night, something will happen. And Trump will have his ass pulled out of the fire on this. That's how he works, right? It's always the perils of Pauline. At a rally on Saturday, he'll allude to it, but he'll be very vague because he loves cliffhangers, even when they're about his own survival. Because he's a showman, Britt. He puts on a show, and that's why so many Americans like him. You don't tell me about rich man, poor man. This is the show. This is the show.
Was that Nick Nolte? Was Nick Nolte in Rich Man, Poor Man?
He was one of the top three names in it. Yeah,
one of the big deals. I mean, it's worth repeating. And you do have these people like you, and there's only a few people in this country, really in the world, who would be able to go ahead and hand him over that kind of amount of money. But we hear all these billionaires all the time. Oh my God, we need this. This country's going into shitter. And then when it comes time, I can't find the checkbook.
But they shouldn't. And by the way, there are so many implications. You can't just cover his bond. It doesn't work that way. That, first of all, that would be considered a gift. And what do you have to do when you get a gift? You have to pay taxes on it, okay?
Yeah.
this isn't $18,000 per child per year exempt or something like that, whatever it is. This is a lot of money.
You know what they should? You know what would be hilarious, since Biden is so good at trolling? We're going to waive the gift tax if somebody would just give Donald Trump the money. That's what we're going to do. We here at the federal government stand with Donald Trump. We're going to waive the gift tax if anybody wants to throw $400 million at Donald John Trump Sr.
Now, how about cutting it in half?
That would be hilarious.
Cutting it in half.
Oh my God, that would be the funniest thing of all time.
Yeah.
But all of these guys know they're not going to do it. They're not going to step up. They're not going to give him the money to do it. And they're just not going to do it. All of these guys who are like, I made you so much money with the tax cuts, I can't believe it. You know, and now, sorry guys, I can't do it. Can't make it. I gave it the office.
Have you seen the meme that's got the picture of Taylor Swift and says Taylor Swift could come up with $400 million in cash, but Trump can't? It's beautiful. Well, nicely good. Done.
And it has the beauty of being accurate, strangely.
Yeah. 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 All right. You want to go? And by the way, let's talk here about blood in the streets again.
Okay.
I'm
ready.
I've seen some bad faith takes on this, and so have you.
Yeah.
Most of them are by the sycophants and the suck-ups and the liars and the excusers and the usual people who will go right along with, and this is kind of a, this isn't as big a lie as the big lie about the election, but I put it up at the at AAA. It's a AAA lie, okay? And the repetition instantly of, well, you know, he was just talking about the car industry.
Yeah.
Bloodbath, okay? I mean, they went fast and furious and heavy and hard trying to bullshit everybody and gaslight everyone on that. And, you know, you have to just have suspended all of your powers of disbelief to go along with that. And then they throw that, well, it's out of context. When you listen to the longer version, of it's even worse. It doesn't get better. Because they go, well, they just have him saying the word bloodbath, and then they cut it off right there. No, it gets worse because he repeats it.
No, it does.
Right. It gets worse.
He backs up. He backs up and then goes over the body again. That's what he does on that whole deal.
All right. So one of the time-tested, you can count on it like your watch saying midnight twice a day. When something like this happens, the 180-degree Fox right-wing conservative pro-Trump will start with, media melts down, liberals lose minds, over, and then they talk about it. So the issue isn't what Trump said. It's your taking the bait and even responding to it. That's the issue. And as a result, he wins. He always wins, no matter what, right? It's all that. So who is the worst practitioner that you've seen playing that card right now? It's the guy who runs and founded MediaEye, Dan Abrams. You know, he's on Sirius XM for a couple of hours every day, and he's on America's number one news source, News Nation, every night for an hour. And listen to this bullshit. Listen to this bullshit. He's what I call a fake contrarian. He knows better. He knows the truth, but he thinks that by going in an opposite direction or giving, quote, the other side of what he knows not to be true, that makes him an honest broker, right? Here he goes. He's talking about it in the context of cars, right? Is it a great idea to be using phrases like bloodbath considering what happened on January 6th? No, but do I think he's calling for another January 6th type event there, as many in the media have been claiming? No, the context matters. Right out of the gate, the word bloodbath blew up in the media. The Trump campaign put out a statement repeating it, was talking about the automobile industry in China. But the left-leaning media dug in. This plays out perfectly for Donald Trump. He gets to say rightly, that the media took his comments out of context and the rest of his speech gets largely forgotten. Fuck you, Dan Abrams. Fuck you. That is just absolute bullshit. And you know it. You know it. And by the way, one of the things in the speech that you won't hear about on the mainstream media, Dan Abrams may be right on this, is Donald Trump going off into the gutter while he was rolling the ball down the lane. In Vandalia, Ohio, Dayton, which is a good 200 miles away from Cleveland, not that that matters, but he decided that the three-year-old story of the Cleveland Indians becoming the Guardians could be demagogued and put into full racist terms as only Donald Trump can do it, combined with an idiotic threat that has about as much weight as this piece of paper that I'm holding right now. Here you go. He said this in front of a crowd of what was about 300,000 Brit or 400,000. They have the final total on that in Dayton.
You couldn't even count it. It was so huge. It was unbelievable.
And that doesn't count the hundreds of thousands that couldn't get in, as always.
Oh yes.
Which the media won't show. They won't turn those cameras around, will they? They never do.
They never do.
All right, here we go. Here's what he said. Can anybody believe that the Cleveland Indians, a storied and cherished baseball franchise since taking the name in 1915, looks like you did a lot of research on this.
A lot of it.
They're changing their name to the Guardians. They're changing. No, they changed it 3 years ago. But in Trump's world, it doesn't matter. Okay. He just starts down this road. Such a disgrace. And I guarantee that the people who are most angry about it, and by the way, we're over it, are the many Indians of our country. Wouldn't it be an honor to have a team named the Cleveland Indians? And wouldn't it be disrespectful to rip up that name and logo off those jerseys? Yes, Britt, I hope that doesn't happen. Aren't you hopeful that they'll stick with the Indian?
I don't know, man. No, it's
3 years, you idiot. You, Jesus.
I don't know, man. It's like, just like, again, realistically to discuss it, what exactly is he going to do to make them change the name back to Indians? Is there a presidential order that he's going to write up?
There's not.
Is there something? Is there an act of Congress? Is there a bill he's going to try to introduce?
Now remember the brilliance and the connection to what was going on was, you know, Trump was endorsing in the primary on Tuesday, today in Ohio, for the Republican nomination for Senate to run against Sherrod Brown, this guy named Bernie Moreno, who was a car dealer in the Cleveland area, I guess, and made a ton of money, which means he is the most honest man in the world. Anyway, Bernie is now a Trump bro, and that's who Trump is endorsing. And of course, his number one opponent was Matt Dolan, who is James Dolan's son. They own the Cleveland Guardians. Okay. So somehow Trump thinks that crowd listening to him, and they're comatose and they're not paying attention to what he says anyway. I don't know how this fell out of me yesterday. I was talking about it with Jane, and we were talking about the rally, and she said something to the effect of, why didn't they listen to him saying this? And I said, you know what? It's like great music. Okay. How many great songs do you love that you actually, if I put a gun, you don't really know the words that well, or you'd mangle them, or you can't. It's about the sound. It's about the music. It's about the aura. And that's a Trump rally. They're not listening to the music of Donald Trump's voice or the content of his lyrics. It's just, they are there. So he somehow thought that by trashing and using the wrong tense in talking about the Cleveland Indians changeover to Guardians 3 years ago, as if we can stop it right now. All we have to do is vote for Bernie Moreno, the car dealer, to be the Republican nominee, and he'll reverse it when he becomes a U.S. senator, because that's what U.S. senators do, Britt. That's what they do. I guess it's Paul Dolan is the owner, right? Matt Dolan is the...
Right.
It's the guy who's running. And then there's a third guy who's the Secretary of State of Ohio, who's just, he's fucking dreadful. I mean, he's a total piece of shit. He's so bad, he's in third place. And it's hard to be in third place. He's not in the running. Okay. And I guess the interest in this race is that Trump is supporting this car dealer, which, do you even have to do the would you buy a used car from this man memes? I assume that's been done. And maybe they morphed Nixon into Bernie Moreno or something like that, because that was the great campaign poster against Nixon in 1960. Or was it 68 that they did that? Probably both campaigns. But Trump endorses the car dealer, and Mike DeWine, who is the very popular Republican governor of Ohio, I mean, he gets reelected by big margins. He's a popular guy, and he's endorsing Dolan. So it's Trump versus Mike DeWine. And if the Democrats have their way, guess who will be the opponent? It will be Moreno, because he's fucking crazy. He's a Trumper, and they think that Sherrod Brown can dissemble a Trumper, and the Democrats do much better against the crazier Republican opponent in these high-profile races. And there's nothing to say that they're wrong about that. So you got all these cross currents, and I assume ads are being run on behalf of Bernie Moreno, probably by the Democrats, to give him a better shot at winning versus the more conventional Republican who might do better this year in a Senate campaign in a state like Ohio, which I used to be from, but I'm not.
I'm not anymore. All right, quit beating around the bush and let's get to why you're a bad Jew. Come on. You've been hemming and hawing here. It's time to get around to why you're a bad Jew.
Right. Yeah, over the years, Trump has brought this up several different times. And it was wrong the first time he said it. It was inappropriate every time. It's anti-Semitic. It's stupid. It makes no sense. Which is why he keeps doing it over and over and over again. Right. And by the way, Brit, you know we're falling for it by talking about it. Dan Abrams thinks that he owns us because we're mentioning this. Because what we should do is let Trump just say everything he ever wants to say, and you should never respond to it. That's what he wants. It's like when your brother is bugging you in the backseat of the car, yeah, and your mother says, "Don't even respond to him." That's what he wants. That's what this is, right?
Exactly.
It's just like that. All right. So his latest thing is in the last couple days. It's back to the any Jew who votes Democratic in the United States hates Israel. Yeah. Any Jew who opposes the policies of Benjamin Netanyahu hates Israel. Any Jew who hates the policies, doesn't like the policies of Benjamin Netanyahu, or thinks that the war as it's being waged against Hamas in the Gaza Strip, resulting in 30,000 plus or more civilian casualties, deaths, and putting the place on the brink of starvation, if you have anything to say about that policy, whether you are Charles Chucky Schumer, the highest ranking Jewish official ever elected in the United States of America, senator, senior senator from New York, all the way down the list, self-hating Jew, Chuck Schumer, self-hating Jew who hates Israel. And by the way, Chuck Schumer has been the most pro-Israel politician publicly in this country for apparently the last quarter century. But not when Donald Trump gets to analyze. Yeah, because he made what is, I think, arguably a very compelling and well thought out, very balanced speech about the fact that the status quo cannot hold as it relates to Benjamin Netanyahu, who really is Trump Israeli style. He's running the show to save his own ass, and the country be damned. The country is second, but he gets a lot of support over there from a lot of people. It's not quite the same, but it's in the same neighborhood. But for Trump to get out there and think he can say this kind of stuff, and if I may, I would like to present for you the words of Rabbi J. Michelson, who is also a columnist for the Jewish Daily Forward. He was on CNN last night, and here's his take. I feel like Trump has totally gone off the rails in a certain way, and he gets cheers for doing that. I mean, hanging around with Seb Gorka. If you know who Sebastian Gorka is, fine. If not, look it up. He's dreadful. He's horrible. he's just the worst. That would be news in and of itself, you know, in normal situations, giving his record of palling around with anti-Semites. But this was a truly disgusting comment. I mean, it was appalling. 70% of American Jews generally vote for the Democratic Party, give or take a few points. So we're talking over two-thirds of American Jews that Donald Trump says hate Judaism. As a rabbi who sometimes votes Democratic, I don't hate Judaism. And this kind of smear against an entire community coming at a time when Jews have a lot of reason in this country to feel insecure, now we're going to be attacked by the presumptive nominee of a major party saying we're self-hating, is absolutely despicable. Yeah, like a true mafia boss or something, like we have to have loyalty because he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. Meanwhile, he helped coddle the hard right extremists who've made peace impossible in Israel. Rabbi Michelson, bless you. Thank you, sir. Nothing more needs to be said. This is just the worst.
Again, it's just, you're again beating around the bush. Why do you hate Israel, Brad?
Britt, thank you for not being thrown off the rails. Thank you for sticking with your guns. Don't let me off the mat on this, okay? Because I'm avoiding the issue completely.
I mean, it's again, it would be absurd if it wasn't that people take what this guy says pretty seriously.
Yeah.
It's completely sad. Again, nobody with a brain would believe that, but there are a lot of people without brains that are walking around among us. They're zombies, and they don't understand Judaism. They don't understand Israel. They don't understand. And Donald Trump just tells them, well, if they've not voted for me, then they hate Israel and they hate Judaism. Well,
I forgot. As always, every problem in the world right now would not be a problem if only Donald Trump were president. No.
Exactly.
Putin would have never made a move.
Hamas would never attacked. Hamas would have never attacked.
That's right.
Never would have happened.
Nothing. Nothing. You know what? The gangs in Haiti would have never done what they're doing.
Never would have happened. That's so great. Hamas is like, there's this music festival and we could kill a lot of people, but I don't know. Trump might get back at us. We better hold off on that attack, guys. I don't think we should do that. I don't think that's something we should do, guys.
Yeah, because if we attack Israel while Trump is president, he'll send in the troops and destroy the Gaza. Oh, shit, that happened anyway, didn't it?
Yeah, it kind of did.
Guess it didn't matter who was.
No, it really didn't. And it's a stupid thing to say, and it's idiotic, and shut up. The whole Israel thing is... The situation in Israel is extremely complicated. And you know who doesn't do well with complicated situations? It's Donald John Trump Sr. He just doesn't. He doesn't get it. But he tries to simplify it for his people in that, if you like me, you love Israel. That's the end of it. And if you don't like me, then you hate Israel.
Well, I mean, I can see where this is going to end up going if we don't get a ceasefire and hostages being released. Because remember, if you're just calling for a ceasefire, then you're an idiot.
That's ridiculous.
If you don't attach the least punishing condition to that ceasefire, which is release whoever the innocent hostages that you are still holding that are still alive, and I don't know if there's an over and under on of the 100 and some people that are considered to be hostages, how many are still left to be released, but it's probably at least half of them, maybe more. But if you don't couple those two together, then you do hate Israel, okay? You do, but that's not...
You certainly don't understand what's going on. Any kind of ceasefire, anything that's ever been done in history always had some preconditions to it. You didn't just stop shooting.
Yeah.
There was always something that was negotiated on, and these hostages seem like a pretty good, you know, a pretty good negotiating point for me
to start.
Yeah, that's at the very least,
because we want Hamas to show their good faith.
Oh, exactly. God.
But you know, this is what you're dealing with. You know,
let's move on to in Graham, North Carolina. Don't you dare touch that Confederate statue.
Yeah.
It's so funny. This story is coming up locally because they just passed the anniversary. I think it was maybe 5 years since they removed one in Winston-Salem. And everybody in Winston-Salem, they would go around, the news stations would go around, interview people, and go, yeah, it's not a big deal. I don't miss it.
All right. Today, Tuesday, an appeals court rejected the NAACP's arguments for removing the Confederate monument outside the Alamance County courthouse.
You get it right.
Citing state law that prohibits its removal, really. Both the state and Alamance branches of the NAACP had filed a suit in 2021, arguing that, and this is a gigantic statue, it's 30 feet high, rebel statue, that it's an enduring symbol of white supremacy and should be relocated to a, quote, historically appropriate location. This wasn't a, let's just take it and melt it down. They were willing to compromise and be reasonable. But the point is, they're saying it shouldn't be in front of where justice is dispensed,
right,
supposedly equally, regardless of race, color, creed, religion, sexual preference, or whether you hate or like the Dallas Cowboys. It should be equal for everyone. A nationwide string of protests that saw Confederate statues yanked down in Raleigh and Durham and Chapel Hill. And you're right. Was it Winston-Salem that they took one? And didn't they take the one down in Pack Square in Asheville, too? Or is that still up there?
Yeah. They did.
So there were Black Lives Matter protests in downtown Graham, Alamance County, including one that saw demonstrators pepper sprayed during a march to the polls. Yeah. Which is what we do here because we care about the integrity of the vote. In their lawsuit, lawyers for the NAACP argued that the monument violates the state constitution by maintaining, these their words, and protecting a symbol of white supremacy in front of an active courthouse. And they further argued that the officials in Alamance County kept the statue in place out of a spirit of discrimination, which would violate the state's equal protection clause. Sounds pretty reasonable to me, but the court said, no, 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 no. They brushed aside the arguments by invoking something called the Monuments Protection Law, which was passed by the General Assembly of North Carolina in 2015, 9 years ago. The Monuments Protection Law. The record conclusively shows, Britt, that the monument is a monument located on public property which commemorates military service that's part of North Carolina's history. Well, okay, I got an idea. How about if we start building some statues to salute the January 6th rioters?
Yeah.
Because according to this language, right, according to this language, these are people who love their country. It's part of American history.
That is.
And it's public property.
That's right.
That they tried to destroy. So let's build some monuments to them, and then let's pass laws later on to protect those statues. Because well, if we don't protect those statues, Britt, we'll never remember January 6th.
Well, it's 100% correct. I mean, in places like Winston-Salem and Asheville, the places that you mentioned, they don't even know what the Civil War is. They never heard of it. They have no idea who won. Now that those statues are gone, the billions upon trillions of words that have been written about the Civil War have been erased from every server in the universe. There's no artwork depicting it. There are no movies about the Civil War. There's no statues of Hitler. I don't even know who Hitler is. They need to put a couple of statues of Hitler up so that I will know who
that is. That's right. All that was scrubbed from history, from the books.
I don't see any statues of Stalin around here. I don't even know who he is. There's no statues of Timothy McVeigh. What if another guy starts cannibalizing people? I won't even know how to deal with that because I don't know who Timothy McVeigh is. So it's just preposterous.
In 2020, both the Burlington mayor and the Alamance County manager asked the county commissioners to please consider moving the statue. And their reasoning was, and they may have loved Confederate statues or rebels who fought, but that their argument was it's a threat to public safety because of all the protests. I don't care what your reasons are. Good. Well, good for you.
It's silly because what they're, again, they're trying to play. Hey, I don't care about the thing, but it's a shit magnet. That's basically what they're telling the people.
Whatever reason, but that wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough. So that county, Alamance County, which is how far away are you from the Alamance County line, Britt?
About 8 miles.
8 miles, right over there. Now, I suggest you stop shopping there. You show them.
If that was the most disturbing thing about Alamance County.